WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Number three of the program here on Fun Friday, here on the first Friday in August, and the first day of August, rather, and it will be the second day of the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. So our Fun Friday question today, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, is, as the feast is on the TV behind me on Channel 12, today's question is, what is your favorite part of the feast? And you can answer on our Facebook page, you can answer on app chat, you can answer on open line voicemails, or you can call in 508-996-0500. I just saw a bunch of app chat questions that rolled in during the break, so we'll get to those. But one of them is Tim in New Bedford says, Tim, do you know if you can bring bottled water into the feast? No outside food or beverages are allowed into the feast, but I'll tell you this. You can get a bottle of water, ice cold bottle of water, for $2. So not a big deal, you know. But you go to other things, that same bottle of water will cost you $7, $8. At the feast, it was $2. So not a big deal. And I think, you know, that there's plenty of things for people that don't drink alcohol as well. So Matt, our producer over at Fun 107, who was there helping everybody out, tried his first sumol. So there's a little something for everybody. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Billy Sackfield.
Morning.
You know, I just want to change the subject for a little while.
Sure.
The other day we were talking about businesses where they shut their bathrooms down.
Yes.
Right? Well, I just want to, you know, now you're talking about the homeless people, you know, and the things and everything. What I should have said last time I called, you know, I mentioned about the trip towers that the handicapped bathroom shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I don't know if people realize this, but Cynthia Wolowitz, which is in charge of the handicap at City Hall, a lot of people know her. She, you know the bus terminal that's next to the City Hall?
Yes.
Okay, they shut down the bathrooms there, too. Okay? So nobody, you know, because they had a few incidents. But see, what people don't realize, you can't shut off a bathroom, especially when you get money from a government entity. Okay. Now, what happened was Cynthia brought that to the attention. This is like the beginning of the year, about 8 months ago, that they've got people, handicapped people, that go to Boston on the buses because they can't drive that, you know, be in a car all that time.
Sure.
And some of those buses don't have bathrooms. So they couldn't even use the bathrooms in the bus terminal, even though they're getting money from the government in some way. So what Cynthia did, they took them to court, and they had to open up the bathrooms to the people because of the handicapped people. You know, at that age and everything, you know, because a lot of people, they can't drive all the way, and some of those buses don't have handicap. So she got a hold of Inspectional Services, and they went to court. So, you know, I just want to bring attention to the people out there that the city does some good things with what they have. And there's two examples with Cynthia taking advantage of the bus terminal, shutting off the bus. So I don't understand how other businesses can close the bathrooms and won't let, you know, public using it. And my question to this is the people that get money from the government. You understand what I'm bringing up?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Don't you find that, you know, That's what this is coming to now, when people can dictate when you can go to their bathroom.
Well, you know, I think it's happening beyond just, you know, with public buildings too. I mean, how many restaurants do you go into, like, and you say, hey, can I just use your bathroom real quick? I'm like, no, sorry, it's employees only. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought you had to, if you were serving food, I thought you had to have a bathroom where people have access to be able to wash their hands.
Well, that's the point. That is the point. Some of those restaurants, some of the businesses and everything, and other businesses, they get breaks from the city, like tax breaks and everything, to open up and everything. But not everybody. So I don't understand why they're trying to dictate, like, you're a perfect example. You said what you did. You know what I mean? So it's the idea of...
Right, yes. It took me a second there, but yes, yes.
Okay, you got that, right?
Uh-huh.
But I just want to bring that up to give the credit to Cynthia Wallowitz and Inspectional Services. A lot of people don't realize that they got the people that were going to Boston for dialysis and everything, because they couldn't hold it all that time, because, like I said, there was no bathrooms on some of the buses. So they... we're punishing them for closing the bathrooms for the homeless.
Yep.
That's my squirrel for today.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. You have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. And that, I mean, I get it. Nobody wants to have a restroom that you have to be constantly monitoring, constantly cleaning. And I say this as someone who worked in a diner for 17 years and... there were people that had a history of going in there and causing problems. We had a guy who was an alcoholic who would come in drunk, who would drink nips in the bathroom and then flush the nip bottles down the toilet so that we wouldn't find them in the trash and know that he was drinking in the bathroom, even though we all knew. And he would flush them down the toilet. In fact, if you went and opened up the cap to the septic tank, and you look down, all you would see is just a sea of nip bottles floating on top of the, because these were all plastic bottles. You see them all floating on top of the liquid. And we had people that would come in and just, you know, trying to keep it clean here for people that are eating their breakfast. But just, so the tile in the bathroom were pink and brown, pink and blue, you know, blue in the boys' room, pink in the ladies' room, and then someone would come in and paint it all brown. And we'd have to go in there and clean that up. I mean, hopefully I had a dishwasher on. I could make the dishwasher go do it so I didn't have to. But, like, it was part of the deal of having a bathroom that the public had access to. And we didn't stop. We were a bus station as well. We were a Bonanza Bus Lines terminal stop. So we had the parking lot where people would park just for the bus. And so, yeah, people would come in and just use we're right off the highway. People would come in and use our bathroom and not buy anything. And we never really said, hey, those are for customers only. It just came with the territory if you had to do it. But now so many places just say, we're not going to deal with that, so bathrooms are closed. We're not going to deal with people that might be going in there and doing drugs, so bathrooms are closed. And I don't think that that's the right move. You can't punish everybody else because a couple of people take advantage of the situation. There need to be public restrooms. If you have places where the public is going to gather, there should be a place where the public can relieve themselves. And I get all of the arguments. You're going to pay somebody to go and sit there at a bathroom that nobody might use all day? What a waste of money. But it's not a waste of money to the person that needs it, and it's there when they need it. And again, you can get away with a lot of cases just putting those portable toilets in, but maintain them. If you remember a couple of years ago, there was the problem where they had them at the parks, but nobody ever went and emptied them, so they just got disgusting. That should be a contracted service where the company comes in and swaps them out every week or every 2 weeks or whatever, you know, whatever the timeline is. I don't know about you. I've used plenty of those in my life. Not my first choice, but I've used plenty of those in my life. And if that's all that's available, I'm perfectly happy utilizing it. They have, they usually have hand sanitizer in them now. Like, I would have no issue if that's what they were putting, maybe some of those downtown, maybe some of those at the parks. I know they have them in some of the parks, but and, but then just keeping up with them. Just part of the deal with having public spaces is you need to have a way for the public to utilize the restroom. Or else you're going to get people who defecate in the Zeiterian garage. And then you can't act shocked and outraged when somebody does that when there was no other place for them to go. 508-996-0500. If you want to sound off on our question of the Fun Friday question of the day, what's your favorite part of the feast? You can do that too. If you want to talk more about some of the discussion around the citizenship issue with the New Bedford police, you can do that as well. As I said, you know, I'm sure Chris and Barry will be talking about that. Don't know if Brian's going to cover it tonight, but I know Paul will definitely be discussing it tomorrow. He's already told me. He's already champing at the bit, as they say. That's the correct term. It's champing, not chomping. He's champing at the bit to continue that discussion tomorrow morning. So it's going to be a great time. It's 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll have Paul Santos from 7 to 9. Ken Pittman from 9 to noon, Jose Matos and Money Matters at noon, and then Brian's got his Freedom Fools show on Saturday. So, again, the idea that before I bring this topic back up, I want to preface it that I support helping people that don't have a place to live. I don't like to see people having to live on the street. I think to live in a country where we have so many homeless people is mind-boggling to me. And I have full compassion for those people because I was one of them. I lived in a tent myself on multiple occasions. But that being said, how do you feel about the fact that there are a group of people that have apparently set themselves up a little camp at the Cogswell Street exit off 195 westbound as you've got tens of thousands of people coming down that ramp this weekend for the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament? And when they come off the highway and get into New Bedford, that's what they're going to see. They were on the other side of the off-ramp, and now they're on the east side. I saw probably about 7 or 8 people there, and I think there was 2 tents. It might have been 1 tent, but might have been 2. I couldn't tell from the angle I was at. But then they were, like I said, they were on the other side. Now they're on this side, and it looks like this space has been cleared for some reason. Somebody mowed down some space. Did they mow that space down for them, or was that mowed down for a different reason? Has there been outreach to these people to try to get them somewhere else to be? Is there a reason why they want to be right there? That's why I said maybe these aren't, you know, typical unhoused people. Maybe these are people who are vagabonds, travelers, sticking to the highway. I don't know. But what I do know is you're going to hear about that. That will be something that people are commenting about on social media as they're coming into the city for the feast. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Take a look at some of these app chat messages that were coming in. Just give me a second because I got to load some up. Someone who said participation trophy wife says she didn't realize there was a Gravitron. Yes, there is a Gravitron at the feast, and it was pretty intense, and it's a long ride. Like when I was standing outside waiting, and I was like, wow, this has been going on for a long time. And when I was on it, it got to that point where it felt just like maybe I couldn't take it anymore. And that's when it started to slow down. I was like, ah, perfect timing. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Then also, Sketty says, I can't go to the feast. I'm still sick. So sad, but I want to experience more food this year. But everyone and you have a Madeira Roo of a weekend. So that's from Sketty to all of us. And yes, you can have a Madeira Roo of a weekend if you're 21 plus. Go for the large. Just get the large. Just sip it slowly. Don't have too much. All right, I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Hans plays with Lottie. Plays with
and
Jane.
Welcome back in. That is not She's So Funky, yeah, like I always thought as a kid growing up. It's not She's So Funky, yeah. It's Je Sans Frontières, Games Without Frontiers, which is the name of the song. 508-996-0500. We're going to take a call in just a moment. But before I do that, some of you are probably looking at the calendar now saying, August 1st, the kids are going back to school at the end of the month. I got to start finding myself a part-time job for when the kids go back to school. Well, how about a part-time job that allows you to work around the kids' schedule when they're back to school? Like working for Tremblay Bus Company. They're looking for bus drivers. They're looking for van drivers. They're looking for monitors. They're looking for bus mechanics. So a lot of different ways that you could be working for Tremblay Bus Company and helping local students get to school. Plus all the other great things that Tremblay does. So if you want to find out more, go to their website, tbcbus.com. TBCBus.com, Tremblay Bus Company, TBC, TBCBus.com. There's information there about how to apply, whether you want to do it online or go to their office and do it in person. Plus, don't forget, even if you don't have a CDL license, that's okay. They will train you. So again, TBCBus.com to find out more. All right, let's take a phone call here before we go to the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
Morning.
You're bringing back all kinds of memories. We had a gypsy house. It was an empty house, maybe a couple of blocks away from where I still live. And every season, the gypsies would come and move in for a little while, maybe a week or maybe a little over a week. And they were such a colorful bunch. I loved them come. I loved to see them. It was fun. I looked forward to it. They were always nice and smiling and seemed happy. But the one thing we couldn't do was leave clothes on the line. Because we had a clothesline.
Mm-hmm.
No dryer back then. The clothes would disappear if you left them on the line.
So when you say gypsy, were these like actual Romani people?
They seem so, yeah.
So they're what people used to call gypsies. It's kind of not enough, you know, we don't really say that word anymore, but that's who you're talking about, the people that actually, you know, were from that culture.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we just use it as a term for just nomadic people. But so you're talking about the actual gypsies.
The actual people, yeah.
Oh, very interesting. I didn't know that
they
were.
They were interesting.
Yeah.
I loved their clothes. They were very colorful. I think it's things that they just acquired and they, you know, you didn't go out and buy an outfit. I think they just acquired different pieces of clothing and put them together. And they always had kerchiefs. I remember that.
Well, apparently they acquired them off your clothesline. Those clothes look familiar.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. There was a woman that lived on the streets of Wareham. She was intentionally homeless. People tried to have her move indoors, and she didn't want to. She wanted to live outside. And she knew, when her clothes got faded or something, she knew like what plants to use to kind of dye them different colors and how to wash her clothes in the river and all that. Yeah, she was a very interesting person.
Yeah.
But she did pass away a few years ago, so.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, thank you for the call.
I enjoyed the people that lived around here. And they always, it seemed like they would come for maybe a week or a week and a half and move on. And
when you say that it was the gypsy house, did they own it or did they just squat in it for a week?
They squatted in it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very interested. Thank you for sharing that.
I still live in the neighborhood, and it's still a strange house.
is it still vacant, or does somebody live there?
People live on some of the floors, not all of it. It's a tenement.
Oh, Well, at least it's being able to house somebody.
Yep.
All right. You have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go into the news. When we come back on the other side, we'll check in with Eric over at the butcher shop and then more with you. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Mike Roberts.
Trump's tariff deadline is set for today. Inflation was up in June, and a woman killed by a fallen tree in California.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump's tariff deadline is here. The president announced he's given Mexico a 90-day extension after he spoke with the country's president yesterday. Earlier in the week, Trump refused to offer deadline extensions as he pushed for countries around the world to agree to trade deals. So far, deals have been agreed to with the European Union, the UK, Japan, and South Korea, among others. On Wednesday, President Trump announced a 25% tariff against India with a penalty due to what he said was them buying military equipment and energy from Russia. Inflation was up in June. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, a key inflation gauge used by the Federal Reserve, rose 0.3%, the biggest increase in the last 4 months. That puts the annual PCE inflation rate at 2.6%. A woman is dead after being struck by a falling tree branch while hiking in Yosemite National Park. Officials say 29-year-old Angela Lynn died in mid-July on the Tulum Grove Trail, a popular area known for its giant sequoias. Lynn's boyfriend performed CPR until emergency services arrived, but she died due to fatal head injuries. The trail was temporarily closed for about a week. At the National Park Service, an investigation is underway. Grief, anger, and questions after a Connecticut toddler choked on a meatball at a daycare center and died. Here's Andrew Whitman.
Shamira Cook got the nightmare call Tuesday. Something was wrong with her 2-year-old son, Santi, at daycare. Cook rushed to the YWCA New Britain to find staffers in tears and Santi intubated with workers performing CPR. He was pronounced dead at a hospital. YWCA says they did everything they could to help Santi. His mother has unanswered questions. Records show the YWCA has had some past state violations, including some that led to fines.
The plans are set for a new $200 million ballroom at the White House.
Spokesperson Caroline Levitt said construction will begin in September.
The White House State Ballroom will be a much-needed and exquisite addition of approximately 90,000 total square feet of innately designed and carefully crafted space.
On Thursday, she showed reporters renderings of the structure to be built in the East Wing, showing Greek columns and gold-encrusted chandeliers. It will be paid for by President Trump and other private donors and will be used for high-profile events. I'm Brian Shook.
The total time for the Billy Joel documentary And So It Goes is 5 hours. That's 2 hours less than the soundtrack for the two-part series. A 155-song soundtrack was released on platforms this week. The 7-hour soundtrack contains numerous previously unreleased live tracks. Producers of the soundtrack say that there's still a large amount of unreleased material in the vaults of Billy Joel and Sony, and more compilations are in the works.
Probably the most important thing, don't ever feed him after midnight.
Yum, yum. The star of Gremlins says there may be a Gremlins 3. Zach Galligan starred in both the 1984 classic and the 1990 sequel, Gremlins 2. Last week, Galligan spoke at a UK Comic-Con in Manchester and said Warner Brothers is incredibly interested in Gremlins 3 and that after 35 years, they finally come up with a script. He's claiming that the script was sitting on Steven Spielberg's desk awaiting his approval. A Warner Brothers employee stated that the studio was also working with Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment on developing new entries in Goonies franchises as well. At the box office this weekend, The Fantastic Four First Steps is expected to take first place for the second straight week. The Marvel Studios film looking to make $45 to $52 million. Meanwhile, the reboot of The Naked Gun, starring Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, is projected to make $15 to $17 million.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox host the Astros at Fenway tonight at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Okay, so maybe this isn't the Friday we envisioned, but here we are anyway, stuck in the rain for at least the morning. The heavy stuff tapers off. We're left with some clouds in the later afternoon. Temperature is getting into the low 70s today. Yeah, way below average for this time of year. The weekend's going to be a stunner. Temperature is going to be very comfortable for this time of year and plenty of sunshine both weekend days.
I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. We'll check in with Eric over at the butcher shop. I tried calling over, but they must be pretty busy because they weren't answering the phone, so they're probably just buried. It's always very busy over there in the morning. So let's take another call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. The lady who just called right before the news, mm-hmm. Her name is Joyce. That's my mom. I just want to wish her a big 80th birthday today.
Oh, well, happy birthday. You said her name is Joyce?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Joyce.
She'll love to hear that because she constantly listens to you. She has a crush on you, actually. I hope she's not getting too red-faced right now, but so I just wanted to call in and wish her a big 80th birthday today.
Well, thank you so much for doing so. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, happy 80th, Joyce, and There's much better people that have a crush on than me, but I'm honored by that. Thank you. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. Again, our fun Friday question of the day is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. What's your favorite part of the feast? We've been asking that question all morning on the WBSM Facebook page as well, and we've gotten some responses there. You can go on over there if you want to and answer it there, or you can call in 508-996-0500. The most recent answer comes from, hold on, let me switch that to the Dewis comments. Antonio says all of it is his favorite. And again, last night was my first time actually going to the feast itself. I'd always done like feast adjacent things, like preparing in advance kind of stuff. But I'd never actually gone during the festivities themselves, but had a lot of fun. Plan on going back a couple more times this weekend. And everything that that I experienced was great. Even the Gravitron. Even though I woke up a little bit sore after riding it, I'm still going to go back on it again. Well, see, here's the thing, too. I bought a bracelet, a wristband with 18 credits on it. And a Gravitron ride is 6 credits. And I don't plan on going on any of the other rides because I don't ride Ferris wheels. A bunch of them are kids' rides. And then I don't want to go on the casino because I don't like heights either. So that means I got 2 more rides on the Gravitron ahead of me. So maybe I'll see you on there. But if I can have two large cups of Madeira wine, some Carnish Spit, and both the plain and chocolate Natas. I can have all that and then go on the Gravitron, and I was fine. So will you be, too, as well. 508-996-0500. I think if you ask me, you know, I don't think that I have enough experience going there to say that I have a favorite part. But what I will say is what really impressed me was just that sense of community. I was saying this morning how people say, oh, you see everybody that you know at the feast. And I've always said, well, I don't really know anybody. Like, unless I've met people through the radio station, I probably don't know people that well. But you know what? I saw tons of people that I knew. And not just people that I've met through working here. Tons of people. And I felt like I could just turn the corner and find somebody to hang out with and talk to. And if I didn't know them, I could still do the same. Everybody was very helpful. You know, here I am cooking the Carnish Spit myself, and I got no idea what I'm doing, really. Gazelle abandoned me. He started showing me, but then he had to go do some other stuff to pack up the Fun 107 broadcast. So I'm over there, like, kind of like, what do I do? And everybody came over and was great. So if you've never been, don't be like me. Don't wait to go. It's probably been 10 years that people have asked me, oh, are you going to the feast? No, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. And living in the area, like literally in the area, for 3 years, I still never went. But now I've gone, and now I'm going to make it a thing. 508-996-0500. Again, we also talked to some more this morning about the hiring of legal permanent residents as New Bedford police officers. Barry has an article up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and it's on the Facebook page if you want to comment there. But there will definitely be more discussion about that coming. I also think there's going to be more discussion coming about the longevity pay. And I was talking to some folks at the feast last night, and I guess the word is that some of the counselors whose name appeared on that list in the New Bedford Light Report, excuse me, the local online news organization's website, that some of those counselors are going to write a check. So does that put pressure on others to have to do it? I don't know. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that this was a mistake that they benefited from? Or should somebody have known and said, this doesn't seem right. I'm giving this money back when it happened. I find it hard to fault them because they were just told that that's the policy. So I think you've got to say, all right, well, at least we stopped it. But you can't rightfully go back and tell them, we gave you money you weren't entitled to, you owe it back to us. You know, if my job, and I get it, my job is not taxpayer dollars, but if my job said to me, we gave you a bonus for hitting this, you know, mark, this milestone. Okay, great. And then I went and cashed the check. And then 10 years later, they came back to me and said, hey, we found out that you didn't quite hit that milestone. You were a little bit short. So we need you to give us that money back. What would you say in that situation? No, too bad. That's your fault, your mistake. You gave it to me. I'm not giving you back that money. So I think the expectation that somebody's just going to rip off a check for $14,000 is a little, I don't know. I mean, believe me, I get it. It's taxpayer dollars. I get why you feel that way. But I'm also trying to think of the practicality of such a situation. And really, was it wrong if they didn't know that it's wrong? And did they know that it was wrong? So that's all part of the discussion. 508-996-0500. Let's take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Yeah.
That is, without a doubt, my favorite Police song and the best song you'll ever hear about the Loch Ness Monster. And believe it or not, there's actually a lot of songs about the Loch Ness Monster. But that one is Synchronicity 2. So, and again, the idea is the synchronicity there between the busy modern world and all the craziness of it and this ancient prehistoric creature that just floats around in Loch Ness and doesn't really bother anybody. So, great, great song. Great video, too, for all of its kind of 80s cheese a little bit. It's also a great video. So, if you are looking for some great food, the Butcher Shop is a place to go. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. It is a local family-owned butcher shop. The Penaretta family has owned and operated the butcher shop for more than 30 years, and their number one priority is taking care of you, the customer. And when you walk in there, you know, you'll be treated like family. Well, probably a little bit better than family. And when you get, you know how families get. But when you go there, they're going to remember what you like. They're going to remember, oh, you like it a little bit thicker. You like it a little bit thinner. You like the end cut. You like this. You like that. We've got some great new celebrity pork chops in there. I know that's your favorite. Like, they will impress you with the personalized service that they will give you. So I would recommend, if you've never been, stopping in there to just walk around, see all that they have, get a feel for it, maybe grab some of their great pre-made food, and then the next time you want to go out and buy some meat or maybe some beer and wine, whatever it might be, stop by the butcher shop and tell me that they won't become your new favorite place to do your shopping. The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. I like to say a real old school neighborhood market. So 508-996-0500, the final few moments of the program here. And then we'll give way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. Barry Richard will be back today. He also has another article this morning, WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, where he found a very interesting local connection to a very famous cartoon character. One of my favorites growing up, Popeye the Sailor Man. And there were a lot of different iterations of Popeye. Now, when I was a kid, the Robin Williams movie came out a few years after I was born. So Popeye got a little bit of a resurgence in popularity, even though the people didn't really love that movie. You know, you saw a lot more Popeye in pop culture. Popeye culture. But the ones that I always liked were the old original Max Fleischer cartoons. You know, like those were the ones that I always liked. And I had DVDs of them. You know, when DVD collecting first started to become a thing, and I would watch them all. And I never knew that there was a local connection to Popeye. And you can read about it in Barry's article at WBSM.com and the WBSM app. And I'll give you a hint, it doesn't have to do with the can of spinach. So, and I ate spinach when I was a kid. Barry writes about it in the article, but it's true. It's the same thing for me. I ate spinach because my parents would say, if you eat spinach, you'll be big and strong like Popeye. And I said, well, I don't want to be small and scrawny.
And it worked.
I mean, I'm not scrawny, but I'm still small. They should have given me things that would have made me taller. That would have been better. I keep asking the doctor, is there any chance that there's one more growth spurt in my future? And the doctor keeps saying, if you're 47 years old, if you had a growth spurt right now, you'd want to die. It would hurt. It would hurt a lot. But, you know, like when Josh says to Zoltar in the movie Big, I wish I were big. Every time I see a Zoltar machine, I'm just like, I wish I were just a little bit bigger. And instead, Zoltar just made me fat. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500 for the last few moments remaining of the show. And that's Huey Lewis with Couple Days Off. Hopefully you get a couple days off and you can get down and enjoy the feast or whatever you plan on doing this weekend. It is the first weekend of August, which means the end of summer is right around the corner. And it's certainly not going to feel like summer this weekend. It's going to be a little bit. Actually, I was looking at the temperature all for next week. We're not scheduled to crack 80 degrees all next week. And that's even with some sunny days. So it should be an interesting stretch of weather coming up here. For what are supposed to be the dog days of summer. Maybe those dogs have fleas. All right, well, I hope that you stay tuned for Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. I'm sure he's going to be talking more about the police issue. And, of course, you can read Barry's article at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that also has Chris's podcast with the mayor from Wednesday in it, so you can hear that. And then don't forget, too, Barry's back today. Brian will be on tonight. Tomorrow we have our regular Saturday lineup with Paul and Ken and Jose and Brian with Freedom Fools.